I'd like to welcome everyone to the luncheon. And I forgot Lou. Lou is going to give the invocation. Lou, the little light. We're going to bless it.
It's never too late. It's never too late. Father, as we pause at this time in this place for this purpose, we say thank you for all of the many blessings that you've bestowed upon not only those in this room, but all of the households from which they come. We realize that there are things that are going on that we don't have any control over, but still we pause to say thank you. And as we eat this food, may it be nourishing in our bodies, and may it serve the purpose for which it was intended, so that we may go forth and do things in a way that's pleasing in your sight. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And thank God.
It wasn't too late, was it? Okay, I want to begin the introductions. Can you identify yourself?
Good afternoon. Kathy Kimberly-Kirk.
Good afternoon. I'm Martin Jones from Golden Gate Church.
Lorraine Foster, San Diego Rail
Club. Jacqueline Jackson, San Diego Rail Club.
Monique McCorley, San Diego Chapter Rail Club.
Any more at that table?
No.
Okay, the table, Brad?
Yes, my name is Bradley King.
Next.
I'm Charles Navarrete from the East LA Chapter. Don Brown, Vice President of AMC.
Hi, I'm Rob Cook, and I'm visiting this time from Oregon.
Okay, welcome, Rob. Rob is also one of the original steering committee of AMC. Next to Rob.
Andrew Kohlmeyer.
Okay, welcome. Anyone else at your table? Okay, then. Oh, well, you should introduce them when you introduce yourself. Okay, the table with John Lopez. Yay, John. Okay. 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 The next table. Okay. Anyone else at your table? Okay, welcome everyone. We're going to enjoy your lunch.
There's Rob.
I'd like to introduce Rob Cook, that wants to give a history of AMC. Yes. There you go. You like to take it.
I guess I want to.
1994, a few of us came back from the Chicago convention, and there was a lot of discussion about minorities and involvement and, you know, different gender issues and a lot of involvement about diversity. And I just found out that I'm not the white guy I always thought I was. I'm a half Native American. And having grown up in the interior Bay Area and quite the diverse neighborhood and involved with some of the stuff I was doing at University of California, Davis, overseas, I thought, you know, we really should in California, out of all the states, as active as we are, develop an actual committee or a chapter or a portion of our CCB that's devoted to diversity and multiculturalism and celebrate it. You know, not to have a descent of, you know, discussion periods and people bickering or fighting, talking about how hard their lives are, just to have issues that brought out on the table that were, you know, not necessarily light and pleasant, but have, well, there were substantive, you know, that would be meaningful. And at that time, we also had our current our past president, John Lopez, was involved, and we pulled together some people, and Don Brown and I and Lillian had lots of discussions about when we were going to meet and how. And so after the ACB in Chicago in 1994, let's see who actually came down. There was Jerry Arakawa and Don Brown and Ramona Craig and Toscanelli Thomas and Lillian and me. And am I missing somebody? I think so, yeah. And so we sat and we had an overnight stay at Lillian's and worked on it. And it was probably one of the most pleasant Constitution bylaw meetings that I'd had up to that point, because we all knew that we wanted an open and a really diverse group of, you know, individuals who was accessible to everyone and when their issues, not necessarily that particular ethnicity or that particular population segment, but a really diverse, multicultural group of people who had things to bring forth or were not necessarily addressed in the common conventions. And so we developed a set of a constitution and bylaws for the group, and I was pretty happy with it. And Jerry and Don and, you know, Lillian and Ramona, we all just, and Tony, we just had a really, really pleasant time. And so I just thought I'd let you know how great it is to see that it still lasts. And I remember the first convention that we had it at, it was basically drained every other luncheon at the whole convention, the CCB, because everybody came to the AMC first luncheon, and it was huge. And so with that, hugely enjoy your lunch and welcome.
Good afternoon. This is Don Brown, Vice President of AMC. Hope everyone is enjoying their lunch. I am honored to announce the recipient of the Toscanelli Thomas Award. And before I do that, I'd like to tell you just a bit about the award. I'm sure many of you remember Tony Thomas, who was instrumental in AMC president at one point, and always reminded us to stick to the Constitution. Read the Constitution was Tony's mantra. And we decided to create an award for individuals who we felt that have exhibited leadership in the organization, who support the goals and objectives of AMC. And I would like to announce the winner of the Toscanelli Thomas Award is Mr. John Lopez. And we will have Toby will read the award.
It says Toscanelli Thomas Award presented to John Lopez from Association for Multicultural Concerns of California Council of the Blind on this day, October 26, 2007, Los Angeles, California. Lillian M. Scapey, President, Donald L. Brown, Vice President. And this is a temporary certificate.
And I'd like to say one other thing. John, AMC was chartered under John, when John Lopez was president. So.
I'm bashful. This is certainly a pleasure for me to be given this opportunity to come up here and say nothing. The AMC, Association of Multicultural Concerns, was formed when I was president of the CCB. And it was a great pleasure for me to have such an organization, a multicultural, formed when I was president. And thank you very much for acknowledging me. And I could give an hour speech, but my wife said no. So they told me one time, they said, "Who wears the pants in your house?" And I said, "I do." "Well, that's great," but I said, "but my wife tells me what color." Anyway, thank you again, and I'm very proud of the AMC. Here's the microphone. Thank you very much, Lillian.
Thank you, John.
Good afternoon, everybody. First, there couldn't have been a better recipient of the Toscanelli Thomas Award than John Lopez. And my brother, we deeply appreciate you being here. We deeply appreciate you being the doorman and opening up the door for the association. We appreciate that. But now, getting to one of the items that's on our agenda, and that's Ahmad Rahman. When I heard of the death of Ahmad, I was deeply saddened. Ahmad, along with Toscanelli Thomas, they were my convention breakfast buddies, meaning that every convention morning, we ate and we opened up the restaurant at 6 o'clock. We talked CCB, we talked Pyramid Chapter, We talked. Ahmad was a very exercised and recreational individual. So after eating, Ahmad would invite everybody to go to the gym with him. Ahmad was one of the most compassionate men that we have had. He believed in strengthening his chapter. He believed in going to the various schools, talking with kids. You haven't walked if you did not walk the halls of Sacramento for lobbying bills with anybody other than Ahmad. We've walked the various assemblymen and senators' halls on a number of occasions. Ahmad was truly committed. I never shall forget, in one of the conversations that we had, I told Ahmad, I said, "Ahmad, you know, there's an alarming amount of HIV in blind and disabled individuals." And he said, "You really think so?" I said, "Yeah, well, doctor, what do you think we ought to do?" I said, "Brother," I said, "I think that that's something that we need to put a focus on. Because many blind and disabled individuals are held hostage and things occur with them. And they are not able to know what, when, or how." Then that's when that organization came about. And Ahmad was one of the focal points, and along with other members of CCB, going up and down the state about sexually transmitted diseases and blood disorders and blood diseases. Ahmad, my only reason for coming to the convention this time was because of Ahmad. That incident shook me. I know that this is something that will happen to all of us. Some of us who are sitting here today may not be here next year, not because of not being able to afford it, but sister or brother death might walk in. But even in it walking in with Ahmad, it walked in with excellent service. When it walked in with Ahmad, it walked in as a family and as a committed man. He loved his sons. He would talk to me about his sons. He talked to me about, he lay out the plan. And he said, I'd like for him to go to Japan. And then if he goes to Japan, we see, if he go to Japan, doctor, I'll go over there with him. I'll go over there a little while and stay over there. I said, Ahmad, you think, well, I'm up here now. He was up in Berkeley. And he was talking to me about Japan. He got that wish to go to Japan. My thing to all of us is that whatever your desire is and whatever your commitment is, whatever your focus is, work on it. Work on it. I use Ahmad's example a lot of times in the groups that I deal with. Ahmad was driving on the highway coming from work one day, and he said to me, suddenly it looked like it was dark. And he said, how could it look dark? And the sun was shining on his arm, and his arm felt warm. And he said, what I did, I got out of the car, doctor. And somebody drove up behind me and asked me, sir, is there anything wrong? He said, I'm wondering why it's getting dark so quick out here. Just instantly, he lost his sight. But just instantly, he opened up his eyes of creativity. He opened up his eyes of extending his love for helping people and communities. I want to give a moment of silence for Ahmad Rahman. So, in behalf of his members here, brothers and sisters here, in behalf of his family here, of which we are, we want to say that we appreciated him. And to his family, whenever they arrive, that Ahmad Rahman was someone who was loved by each and every one here. Thank you.
I'm going to introduce our next speaker. She is a past deputy director of the Department of Rehabilitation. Currently an attorney, and we all know and love Melinda Wilson.
Thank you very much, Lillian. Okay, I was wondering if I was going to get a clap for the love part. I know some of you know me. I don't know how many of you love me, but that's okay. Good afternoon. Oh, thank you, Lillian. Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? Good? Blessed? All right, blessed. Okay, well, as Lillian said, I used to be an employee of the Department of Rehabilitation, California Department of Rehabilitation. And in fact, I served over 30 years at the department, working as a rehabilitation counselor at one time, and then supervisor, regional manager. And really, I had the pleasure of working with Director Catherine Campisi as her chief deputy director. And I think many of you know her and her husband, Ralph Black. Lillian and I would go very, very far back. I don't know, maybe what, about 15 years now, yeah. Lillian? At least 15 years that we've known each other. And I met Lillian, you know, through Department of Rehabilitation, but we immediately became friends and cohorts and confidants, and I really, really just appreciate the work that she's done for CCB, particularly for this association, and I'd like you guys to give her a round of applause, because I know she works very hard. She was talking to me the other day, just before she came over to the conference, and she was like, I got to make sure I have the supplies for this party and the supplies for this party. And I said, my goodness, Lillian, are you guys just going to go up there and party? She said, well, you know, we have to have fun after we take care of business. And I said, all right, that's my kind of lady. That's my kind of girl right there. Well, Lillian and I, we were talking several weeks ago, actually, about all of the different individuals who unfortunately passed away, which just seems to be an untimely death. But, of course, I believe God makes no mistakes, so it's definitely a timely passing. But who have passed away and who have played such a prominent role in the disability community. And so I said to Lillian, I said, who is going to step up to the plate and take these people's places? I'm not only Ahmad and Tuscanelli, but we also had in the African American community Ernest Hamilton, who had worked with so many different people on personal care technology issues and personal care issues. We also just recently Jeanette Nishikawa and Mary Ann Jones, two just really outstanding, beautiful, committed individuals, the ILC directors for Long Beach and West Los Angeles that just recently passed away. So I said to Lillian, you know, I said, Lillian, if not me, then who? And that's what we all should be asking ourselves. If I am not willing to step up to the plate and to do some of the things, just some of the things that these leaders took on and were able to accomplish, who will do it? So what I'd like to hear from each of you now is to say, if not me, then who? Can I hear you say that with conviction? If not me, then who? Now, I feel like in some ways I'm preaching to the choir, because you're sitting in this room at this hotel on a Friday afternoon, and you could be any place you want to be. But you want to be here at CCB's convention, and more importantly, you want to be here in this room having luncheon and discussing multicultural concerns. And any of you that have had any exposure to me know that diversity issues is my heart and soul. When I was working with the Department of Rehabilitation, and this was as really a supervisor, you know, I got involved in really appreciating that the services through Department of Rehabilitation were not necessarily services that appreciated cultural differences in consumers as well as in staff. And so a group of us within the department, a very diverse group, we got together and we started working with management at the time to say, look, you need to have training for your staff. We have to have more bilingual staff. I'm not talking about just Spanish-speaking staff, but of all different languages. And if we don't have the staff to speak these languages, we need to have resources that when consumers come in, they are able to communicate with the staff. we started taking a look at our services and our service delivery, looking at the things that are important to different cultural groups in terms of family, in terms of support systems. You know, everyone knows, well, I won't say everyone knows, but many people know that in the African-American community, the church plays a prominent role. And if you are going to do outreach in the African-American community, you need to almost begin with the church community to effectively outreach to individuals with disabilities in the African-American community. So we were able to, over years, and I have to say, even when I became chief deputy director, I would ask the field operations staff, what are we doing around the diversity issues? Now, I will say, after 30-plus years and now practicing law, I do work on employment discrimination law, issues for my law practice, as well as some family issues. But I must say that, you know, diversity, cultural concerns can no longer be a set-aside. This is not a set-aside issue. The world is a diverse place. The nation is a diverse nation, our nation. Our state, California, of all of the states, is a diverse state. I suspect even some of your families are diverse families. I know mine is. My sister married an Italian. My, yeah, okay. Yay for Italy, huh? Yeah. He's a New Jersey Italian, too, so you know he's a real Italian, right? A back east Italian. Yeah, and my oldest son just married a beautiful woman from Romania. One of my sons, the mother of his two children, is Mexican American. The other son is with a Samoan woman. So you see, in my own family, I'm like, okay, you know, we are a diverse family. And many of you have diverse families, so it cannot be a set-aside issue. I'm not privileged to know the workings of CCB, but I do know some of the things that you have been involved in as the Multicultural Concerns Association. And what I would say to you is that in working with CCB, your leadership here is that every policy, procedure, activity that comes out of this organization has to have integral to it diversity, cultural issues. It has to be in the mix. It cannot be that, okay, well, we're charged with the group of thinking about how you really outreach to individuals who are culturally diverse. No, when you're talking about outreach as the large group, then that naturally has to be a part of the conversation. We have a lot of young men and women, and even older men and women, in the forces now, fighting over in Iraq, fighting in Afghanistan. Many of them are from culturally diverse families. Many, many of them, the highest rate ever in the armed services. Many of them are going to come back disabled. Some of them are going to have lost their eyesight in this war, and others are going to have lost limbs in this war. And we need to be prepared to work with them and assist them in making the transition from probably once having been a person without a disability to now a person with a disability, and letting them know what you know so very clearly, those of you in the room that have disabilities, is that life is just beginning for them. It is not ending. So we have to be prepared to do that. Now, I have told Lillian this before, but you know, she knows that I'm retired now from the state. I'm practicing law part-time, and I do have two organizations that I'm working with already in terms of volunteering and assisting those organizations. But I am committed to assisting this association, Lillian. And so as you develop your agenda for the coming year, as you develop what you're going to be doing, your plan of action, and working with the management of CCB and the world outside of CCB, I will be there to assist you. If I can assist you legally, I will. Because once again, the word is, as those have passed on that had the leadership, that really took the ball. And you know what? Leadership does not necessarily mean that you have to go out and conquer the world. You know, sometimes we see all the problems in the world and it's like, whoa, it's too much. I cannot do it. I'm just one person. But I have found that if you just affect one other person, and you know, if you have families, you are going to affect your family. And when you affect your family, you affect several generations, because they're going to affect their children, and they're going to affect those children are going to affect the next generation. So remember that. So it doesn't have to be a thing where you're running for office or you're running for leadership of CCB, or you know, you're getting out there and you're developing a nonprofit. No, just affect your family, your friends, and your church and your community. And that way, collectively, we will all make a difference. So I say again, let's say it again. If not me, then who? Leadership. If not me, then who? All right. Okay, you got it. So next year I'm going to come back, and we'll all see what each one of us have accomplished, and I know it's going to be great. And I just have to say on a personal note, since I don't work for the state, I want to give God all the praises for being able to get up here and say these words to you. Thank you so very much.
Let's thank Melinda. And Melinda, wait. We have something we want to present to you. Melinda has been there for us for many, many years. And I would like to present to you, Toby. Oh, okay. Toby will read the award.
A certificate of honorary membership presented to Melinda G. Wilson from the Association for Multicultural Concerns of California Council of the Blind on this day, October 26, 2007, Los Angeles, California. Lillian M. Scafee, President. Donald L. Brown, Vice President.
I just want to say thank you very, very much. But Lillian, I will tell you this. I'll join CCB, because you do not have to be blind to join, right?
No.
Okay. And then I will join your association.
Well, you're a part of CCB when you join AMC.
Okay. Well, I will join AMC. Okay.
Okay. And you're an honorary member. Yes. Okay.
Thanks,
so she
Greg.
Is an honorary member. We changed some things around because some of Maude's family was to be here and they didn't. So. We're going to present the award to Maude's family at the banquet. And I believe Onetta had something to say also. And then that will be the conclusion of our program. Oh! There's Gussie. I heard Gussie laugh. Not now. Gussie said no. This is from Onetta Sally and the Pyramid Chapter. Melinda, would you do the honor of reading it?
Okay, yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Onetta Sally. I'm the president of the Pyramid Chapter. I was president before me. Fortunately, I met Ahmad about 12 years ago riding in an access van. We was in Inglewood, and he said, "Are you blind?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you know, I have a chapter." I said, "Oh, yeah?" I said, "Well, what do your chapter do?" I said, "This ain't one of them things that where I'm going to go and I'm going to be bored, right?" He said, "No, well, I just want you to come and see what we do and see if you're interested." And he said, "You don't have to pay anything if you're not interested. If you're not interested, just come a couple of times and see." So I said, "Okay, I'm going to go and see." So, you know, I went. I said, "Well, you know, they seem pretty busy." And I got there and I said, "Oh, for buying people, they sure move around a lot." And so Ahmad introduced me. I met, you know, and I said, you know, it was a lot of interesting people. I met Ahmad. And, you know, interesting, what I call interesting, I met Ahmad in the cab. I met Tony, which is Tuscanelli Thomas. I said, "Oh, okay, nice people." Then I met Bill, William McKnight. I said, "Okay, not bad." Then I met Mabel, Bailey. I said, not bad. Then I met Beverly Graves. I said, okay, it's cool. But then they told me, well, okay, we're having a Christmas party. Well, what do you do at a Christmas party? What do blind people do at a Christmas party? You'll be surprised. Come and see. I said, okay, come. So I said, well, where are we going to be? Well, what is Christmas party going to be? Well, fortunately, the Christmas party was right down the street at the Quality Inn. I get to the Quality Inn. Amar say, come on in. Meet everybody. Everybody's all shopping. I still had a little sight then, right? I said, boy, they dressed to kill in here. Amar say, meet everybody. And met his family. Met Tony, and then I got to meet everybody. I said, well, you know, these people are really cool. I said, well, I think I'll go on and join CCB. So Ahmad say, you think you like everybody? I said, yeah, but you got to tell me what I need to do. He said, first we're going to get you signed up. I said, but Ahmad, you still ain't told me what I need to do, but you got to keep coming. I said, but you ain't tell me what I need to do. You just keep coming. So after a while, I kept coming and kept coming. So they made me a delegate. Okay, we're going to send you to Sacramento. I don't know what I'm doing. Tony said, well, let me tell you. When you get to Sacramento, I said, Tony, y'all ain't tell me what I need to do. Follow everybody. Follow everybody. I said, Tony, you don't go to everything. No, you go to everything. You look around, you see what everybody doing. I said, okay, that ain't what I'm supposed to do. No. But Tony, you only gave me X amount of dollars to do this. Well, you go into hospitality and you eat. I said, no. Okay, that's it. And I said, when I came back, Ahmad told me to report. I said, well, you know, this is good. But, you know, if you want Ahmad and Tony and Bill, they told me the best way to do is to learn. And then I met back up with Lillian. And Lillian gave me, because see, Ahmad was giving me lessons on how to build back up the chapter. And I started talking to Lillian. And Lillian said, Tony said, read the Constitution. Read the Constitution. Is anything you need is in the Constitution. I said, okay, I'm going to start reading this Constitution now. So on Ahmad, if Ahmad was the best person that you could have, and I just want to say he was truly a dear friend, and I'm truly going to miss him, because anything I needed, we needed, he was right there to give it to you. So, you know, God has really called a man, truly a dear friend, on home, and we're all going to miss him. And we as Pyramid Chapter did a resolution, and I wanted to share it with y'all.
Resolution of Ahmad Abdur Rahman. Be it resolved that it pleased God in his great power to call from labor to reward our beloved true friend and member, Brother Ahmad Rahman. Be it further resolved that Brother Ahmad was a member in good standing of the California Council of the Blind Pyramid Chapter. Whereas Brother Rahman served as president and delegate and was faithful in his duties and his dedication to the CCB of the Pyramid Chapter. His knowledge of the workings of the blind conferences were invaluable to the Pyramid Chapter. Brother Rahman is a great great blessing to his family and to his community. Be it further resolved that in the homecoming of Brother Ahmad, we have lost a dedicated member and tireless friend. We will keep the memory of Brother Ahmad with us as a legacy for our guidance. Our hearts will forever fill his absence. Be it resolved that a copy will be given to the family and a copy of this resolution will be held in our records. Signed and dated this 23rd day of August 2007 in Los Angeles, California, and that is Anthony R. Smith, Jr., Secretary, and Onetta Sally, President.
That was a beautiful resolution. Oh, Annette. Okay. It's a little after one, so we went over, but I want to thank everyone for coming to the luncheon. I hope everyone will attend, or everyone attend the fiesta party around 3:30, 4 o'clock. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and goodbye.